Part 2. Time and Space. Chapter 11. It's About Time. The source field investigations give us hard scientific proof that non-electromagnetic universal energy can affect how we think, how fast we heal, and even the structure and function of our own DNA. Existing species can be transformed into entirely new creatures by strictly energetic means. This appears to be already happening in our own human evolution, making the ancient prophecies of a coming golden age all the more interesting. The 25,920-year cycle is not just a number written into ancient myths and the dimensions of the Great Pyramid. It is a physical, measurable wobble in the Earth itself. This suggests that the movements of the Earth and the other planets may be directly affecting the behavior of our minds and bodies in time. In order to find out if time can be measured, experienced, and even driven by the energy we move through, even if it is not visible to the naked eye, we may have to throw away some of our deepest and most basic assumptions about what time really is. Once we do that, it may all very well make perfect sense on a physical, mathematical, and logical level. Russian physicist Professor Simon Schnoll made truly civilization-changing discoveries by studying a wide range of physical, chemical, and biological processes, from radioactive decay to the rates of biochemical reactions, for well over 20 years. This may sound dreadfully boring, but it ultimately means Schnoll studied the behavior of every single atom and energy wave on Earth, looking for any common patterns in how they were behaving and when. What happens at the molecular level when you heat up water and turn it into steam? What happens when water freezes into ice? What happens when you mix two chemicals together? What happens when the cells in your body exchange information and nutrition with each other? What happens when radioactive isotopes slowly release energy? What happens to a burst of electricity as it flows through a conductor? These are very basic questions, and it's all about how stuff works. Most scientists expect that all physical, chemical, biological, and radioactive processes will start small, steadily build up to a nice peak, and then glide nicely back down to zero, in a path that looks the same going down as it did going up. Anytime the graph doesn't fit into a smooth bell curve like this, scientists are trained to throw the data away by a simple process they call renormalization. Professor Schnoll decided not to throw the data away. It's easy to understand why, because he found the graphs were not normal at all. They were very unusual. Sometimes these reactions would race up to maximum intensity, then plummet almost all the way back down to zero. Then, just as quickly, they would rush all the way back up to the peak again. They may even do this three times in a row over a short period of time. That's not a smooth flow at all. How can matter or energy even stay stable if it's actually doing this all the time? Just go take a walk and think about how many physical, chemical, and biological reactions there are. Electricity is humming along through the power lines. Sunlight is striking the paint on everything around you and gradually bleaching it out. The leaves on the trees convert that sunlight into food. Running water dissolves salt crystals in the soil. Birds digest the seeds they peck off the ground. The dry glue from a postage stamp turns into a weird-tasting goo on your tongue as you walk up to your mailbox to drop in a letter. There are trillions of these various reactions going on just within the area your eyes can see. Schnoll found that every single atom and energy wave around you is doing the same weird things at the same time, racing forward and backward in very specific patterns. These patterns are almost as unique as a fingerprint. We'll get back to why I said almost in a minute. Did you have any idea that the untold trillions of atoms and energy pulses that are surrounding you right now are constantly rushing through this on-off, on-off behavior at the tiniest level? That they are not having nice, smooth, normal reactions, but instead are constantly jumping back and forth in fits and starts? You're not alone. Hardly anyone knows about it, as Schnoll's research is still almost completely obscure in both scientific and spiritual circles, even though he published his findings in Russian scientific journals since at least 1985. Again, the most amazing part of the story is that everything around us works perfectly, despite the fact that the reactions themselves are switching on and off, all the time. Though this may seem like a gross leap in logic, it's almost as if energy waves and molecular reactions were behaving like they were made up of individual frames within a strip of film, flickering in and out of our reality all the time. Perhaps the film only appears to be moving forward, creating the world we see all around us, but it's really just a collection of still frames. Either way, the lucid dream, if that's what we're all really experiencing in some sense, is a very convincing illusion. Matter and energy move along just fine, regardless of how strangely they may be acting down at the quantum level. We never worry about whether our chair will suddenly dematerialize as we read this book. All this is just the setup for the really good stuff. Let's say you mix two chemicals together and chart out the unique zigzagging graph they make as they react. Now you have a friend in a lab, thousands of kilometers away, who graphs the flow of radioactive energy decay at the exact same time, and he sends his chart to you. Naturally, we would expect that when you compare these two charts side by side, they would have absolutely nothing in common. If they did look the same, then that defeats everything we thought we knew about mainstream science. But in the process, we may just discover an even deeper layer of the source field investigations. By the year 1985, Schnoll had discovered that any physical, chemical, biological, or radioactive reactions do look the same if you graph them out at the same time, even when they were measured in areas that were thousands of kilometers apart. Since distance does not appear to pose any barrier to this effect, it appears to be a worldwide phenomenon. This would mean that every single atom, every single molecule, and every burst of energy on Earth is going through the exact same hiccups at the same time, at the very tiny or quantum level. This is obviously not the science we were taught to believe in school. These reactions are supposed to be separate and totally disconnected from each other, but they are not. Western quantum physicists do not appear to know about Schnoll's findings yet, though some of their discoveries lead us in this same direction. So what are the hiccups that are happening in matter and energy? How could we possibly explain something like this? Professor Schnoll isn't sure, but he believes that a global change of space-time structure could be causing it. In the simplest possible terms, this means that time itself is speeding up and slowing down at the quantum level. And this is apparently happening all over the world in the same way at the same time. Space and time itself is doing this bizarre dance on a level at least as massive as the entire Earth, since we're all being affected by it. This creates distinctly measurable quantum effects. And yet somehow, we continue to enjoy a nice, neat, and linear experience of time. Remember, no matter how weird the graphs look, everything works fine. This flickering does not appear to have any detrimental effect on how energy flows or how chemicals react. In fact, thanks to Einstein's breakthrough discoveries, we know that if you could transport yourself down into the quantum level and ride around in a tiny spaceship, your clock would appear to move along just fine, no matter how much time was rushing forward and backward all around you. The trick is that whatever happens to you will also happen to your clock. So within your own frame of reference, you can't tell that anything is going on. The apparently smooth flow of time may well be little more than a psychological experience that keeps us from having severe mental disorientation. If these same quantum effects are somehow happening to us on a large-scale level as well, and we just don't realize it yet, then from another vantage point outside our own time flow, we would appear to be frozen in place 1 minute and moving around really quickly the next. Large-scale changes in the flow of time. As bizarre as this must sound, some people appear to have developed technologies that use these principles on a scale much larger than the quantum world. As reported in a 1977 issue of the Vancouver Sun-Times, Toronto inventor Sid Hurwicz apparently discovered a way to change the flow of time in a given local area by a technological process. Given the remarkably weird effects that would occur when he used the device, Hurwicz realized his invention could have practical value after a rash of bank robberies in 1969. Hurwicz was friends with the police and called a group of bank security staff and officers over to his house one night to demonstrate his new invention. The Sun-Times article quoted the eyewitness testimony of Inspector Bill Bolton. "All I can recall," says Bolton, "is that it was under the table, the device, whatever it was, and there was a bedspread over the table. He froze my service revolver. You couldn't pull the trigger. You couldn't lift it up off the table, and even on the table you couldn't pull the trigger." Hurwicz continues, "And then I said, 'Now take a look at your watches.' I remember one of them said, 'When did this happen?' And I said, 'The minute you walked through that door. You walked in there about 25 minutes ago. Now look at your watches. You're late about 25 minutes. As the security officers filed out of his home, Hurwicz's wife overheard one of them suggest that the army should be told about the device. That was the first time it ever entered my mind for war or army purposes or anything like that," Hurwicz says. He went back to work in his basement. When he felt the device was ready, he contacted a brother living in Israel. Hurwicz received a visit shortly afterward from two high-ranking Israeli officers. After a brief demonstration, they walked out with the working model and every plan and design Hurwicz had. Imagine the defense implications of a technology like this. The December 1977 article also alleges that earlier that June, Hurwicz was given the Protectors of the State of Israel Award on behalf of the Zionist Organization of Canada for a secret military device he had given Israel 7 years earlier. To me, the most interesting part of the article was this. Hurwicz insists his device is not really an invention. He says he simply took one of the oldest basic principles of electricity and put it to a different use. How is it possible that the police couldn't pull the trigger on their revolvers or even pick them up off the table? Again, this forces us to think in an entirely new way, which most people would consider to be pure science fiction. As crazy as this may sound, one explanation is that time was flowing so slowly in the world around them that any attempt to move the weapon may have taken place within mere microseconds of normal time. The pressure they put on the gun may have seemed perfectly normal to them, but may not have lasted long enough in conventional time to overcome the normal inertia that would keep the weapon sitting on the table. In their own frame of reference, everything appeared to be normal. But when they checked their watches, they were in for quite a surprise. They may have had to push on the gun for quite some time in order to get it to move at all, since conventional time had hardly changed in what they and their watches measured as 25 minutes. It's all relative. This, of course, naturally offends our rational mind. We automatically take it for granted that linear time is nice and stable. We are conditioned to believe there is no evidence that the rate of time could speed up or slow down. We believe it is a scientific fact that time must move forward at a constant speed. If you still think this is true, then you might want to check out Albert Einstein. According to Discover magazine, the trouble with time started a century ago, when Einstein's special and general theories of relativity demolished the idea of time as a universal constant. What exactly does this mean? Einstein predicted that when you move through space, you're not simply moving through something that is empty and has no effect on you. Instead, as you move through space, you move through time as well. Ultimately, that means that time doesn't just happen on its own, as if by magic. Time is actually being powered by some form of energy, or what's called a fabric, that exists throughout all of space. The faster we move through space, the faster we move through time. This was actually proven by Hafela and Keating in October 1971. They flew four atomic clocks on commercial jet flights around the world, both east and west, and compared them to clocks at the U.S. Naval Observatory in Washington, D.C. The flying clocks were predicted to lose about 40 nanoseconds going east and gain 275 nanoseconds going west. And believe it or not, it worked, within about 90% of what they expected. Further experiments in 1976 proved it worked to within 99% of Einstein's original predictions. Would we experience any time at all if the Earth were not moving? Maybe not. There are a variety of movements all happening at the same time that we have to think about. The Earth rotates on its own axis and revolves around the Sun. There are longer-term cycles in the Earth as well, including the 25,920-year precession. The Sun revolves around the center of the galaxy in about 250 million years, and the galaxy is also moving toward the so-called Great Attractor, a giant zone of gravitational pull in the constellation Virgo. All of these movements drive us through what Einstein called space-time, and what I prefer to call the source field, the basic stuff the universe is made of. Since we are moving along at a constant speed, more or less, our experience of time remains stable and consistent. However, Einstein also concluded that once you begin traveling near the speed of light, you are now traveling through time much faster than everyone else back on Earth. You could take a simple 2-week trip away from the Earth and back at near light speed, only to find out that 500 years had gone by on Earth while you were gone, let's say. If you could somehow beam a television signal back to the Earth from inside your ship, then as soon as you started traveling near light speed, you would appear completely frozen to everyone who was watching you. This is not speculation, crackpot science, or foolishness. This is a commonly accepted fact within modern physics. Hurwitz appears to have discovered a way to accelerate the flow of time like this in a local area. Of course, mainstream science would strongly disagree with these amazing new concepts I'm sharing with you. This started back in 1910, when Einstein rejected the idea that empty space actually had any actual energy in it, which most scientists of his day called ether. Einstein's space-time was more of an abstract mathematical concept at that time. He didn't expect to see any actual energy appearing in space. This is still what almost all Western scientists believe, namely that Einstein completely ruled out the idea that there is an ether of energy out there in empty space. A typical attitude is expressed in Robert Young's Scientific Blunders. By 1930, younger physicists would smile in a supercilious fashion at any reference to the ether. All scientists now agree that, in the words of the American homespun philosopher, there ain't no such critter. All scientists now agree there is no ether in space? Then apparently Einstein is not a scientist. You see, by 1918, Einstein contradicted his earlier opinion. Any part of space without matter and without electromagnetic fields seems to be completely empty, but according to the general theory of relativity, even space that is empty in this sense has physical properties. This can be easily understood by speaking about an ether whose state varies continuously from point to point.